In Florida, internet sensation Lieutenant Dan's criminal past comes to light and turns the public against him. In Ohio, a woman who injected her husband with tranquilizer just to keep him from seeing his kids is sentenced. And in Pinellas County, a woman goes into a rage over her uncut pizza. These stories and more coming at you today, Tuesday, October 15th. On Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman. Woody Overton will not be with us today. He had an emergency, nothing major. He just had something he had to take care of. So I'm going to be bringing you through the crime news headlines for today. And we're going to start off in Tampa, Florida. And unless you're living under a rock, you are familiar with Lieutenant Dan, of course. This is a guy who decided to stay on his boat during the most recent hurricane, Hurricane Milton, and he had become a TikTok and now pretty much a sensation all over the United States. Well, the problem is people have gotten a hold to his criminal record. And I'm going to reference this article. A 54-year-old man apparently living in the Tampa area became an internet sensation after he refused to leave his sailboat as Hurricane Milton approached Florida. Joseph Malinowski, who is missing his left foot and part of his leg, has attracted a dedicated following online. Footage shows him on a pair of crutches and talking with officers alongside a boat. He tells them he had no plans to leave the boat despite evacuation warnings in anticipation of deadly storm surges. Now that the storm is cleared, the sun is shining a light on Malinowski's extensive criminal history, with arrest warrants revealing he was recently charged for trying to set a woman on fire. Documents from the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office shows Malinowski allegedly argued with a woman who was sitting on an outdoor bench. This was in February of 2023. Malinowski, the record indicated, poured gasoline on the bench and set it on fire before splashing the woman with gasoline. He was later charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. According to the records, the woman told authorities she was smoking a cigarette at the time and feared for her life due to the potential for the gasoline to ignite. The woman, said police, called 911 and moved his crutches away from him to stop him from using the crutches as weapons and escaping. Malinowski told authorities the woman had thrown several cans at him before he splashed her, but police said no cans were seen in the area. He also said he spilled gasoline and lit it to burn the residue off the bench. How nice of him. And denied splashing the woman. Arrest records from this previous summer show Malinowski was charged with failure to transfer the ownership of a vessel within 30 days. That means he might not own the sailboat that he was seen guarding. Another arrest record indicates he was charged for failing to appear in court for an arraignment in connection with the case, and it's also unclear where he lives, as several documents list his address as at large. Malinowski has also been arrested for battery against a police officer, drug possession, and attempted breaking and entering. Earlier this week, Malinowski made international headlines after making at least a few appearances on TV. He's being praised on social media for his alleged bravery. As of Friday afternoon, it appeared Malinowski's new fans helped raise more than $46,000 on GoFundMe to support his seafaring dreams. He's the kind of soul never asked for anything, but we're ready to lend a hand, organizers wrote on GoFundMe. His current vessel has seen better days, and we want to surprise him with a new boat to continue his seafaring adventures. Cleanup from Hurricane Milton was underway on Friday as residents returned home after the storm barreled across Florida, spawning tornadoes, knocking out power to millions, damaging homes, and leading to hundreds of rescues. At least 16 people died in the storm, and there was a significant amount of damage in areas, but Milton wasn't as bad as it was feared. However, flooding from Milton's heavy rains is still causing problems. Governor Ron DeSantis urged people to not let their guard down and be aware of hazards. The storm roared through Florida midweek as some communities were still dealing with damage from Hurricane Helene 2 weeks ago. So there you have it. Lieutenant Dan from the penthouse to the shithouse, as they say, looks like he's got a kind of a disturbing past. And I did see something on TikTok from his daughter, and she was discouraging people from giving him money. She didn't really go into detail about what his past was. Of course, people can change. She didn't go into detail on his past, but said that everybody that's given him money is doing nothing but adding to the issue, is how she put that. And that is going all over TikTok right now. So there you have it. And we're going to go to Ohio. And a 37-year-old mother of three will spend 4 decades in prison for killing her estranged husband with the help of her lover and her mother. A judge sentenced Amanda Hovenick to 40 years after she pleaded guilty to multiple charges, including distributing a controlled substance that killed her husband. His name was Timothy Hovenick. This was in 2022. The defendant will also have to serve 10 years supervised release and pay over $2.1 million in restitution. According to federal prosecutors, Amanda Hovenick and her husband had 3 children and moved around for his job. They reportedly relocated to South Africa in 2018 for one of his assignments, where the defendant began a relationship with Anthony Theraduro, a South African citizen. Amanda and her family later returned to the United States, and she filed for divorce in 2020. The U.S. Attorney's Office said that Amanda began to deny her husband visitation with their children the following year, despite a court order to permit it. Timothy eventually was granted visitation. This was in April of 2022 after filing multiple contempt motions against his wife, and a judge later ordered that he become a residential partner and legal custodian of their children for 2 months that summer, beginning in May. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Timothy took the children for a weekend visit per a court order, but after returning the kids to his estranged wife, he failed to check out of a local hotel and he was reported missing. Officials found Timothy's car abandoned in Dayton. The U.S. attorney said investigators reviewed footage from the vehicle's dash cam that showed the victim returning the children. This was on April 24th of 2022. In it, Amanda and her mother, Anita Green, are reportedly seen waiting as Timothy walked to the vehicle and says to his kids, "I have a surprise for you inside." The children went into the home with Green. Moments later, footage captured Timothy allegedly saying, "What the heck are you doing? Did you just assault me?" Timothy reportedly tried to use his cell phone, but his wife pulled on his shirt and knocked the phone away. According to prosecutors, Amanda held her husband on the ground around the neck, and he eventually went unconscious in the driveway. Amanda reportedly took her husband's cell phone, his smartwatch, turned off his car, which caused the dash cam to stop recording. Investigators learned Amanda injected her husband with M99, which is about 1,000 times more potent than morphine. It's often used by veterinarians for zoos and wildlife as an anesthetic. Prosecutors argued Amanda considered killing her husband for at least a year before the murder and had considered alternate means to do so, including hiring a hitman before setting on injecting him with M99. Hovenick allegedly fatally poisoned her husband to prevent him from seeing their children. Prosecutors said the defendant initially tried to conceal her crimes, but she eventually admitted that she injected her husband in the shoulder with poison, that she understood that it would kill him within minutes. Following his death, Hovenick reportedly disposed of her husband's vehicle and buried his remains in a wooden area. The U.S. Attorney's Office said Theraduro, the guy she was dating, obtained the M99 that Havnick used to kill her husband and also helped her hide his remains in Ohio. Havnick's mother reportedly knew about her daughter's plan to kill the victim, and she was charged with accessory after the fact. According to prosecutors, Green drove her daughter, the victim, and Theridou to the wooded area where Timothy was buried, and the hole had to be dug prior to the killing. Theridou pleaded guilty to conspiracy to import and distribution of a controlled substance that resulted in death. He was sentenced to 18 years in prison with 3 years of supervised release and also ordered to pay over $2.1 million in restitution. Green pleaded guilty to being an accessory to the crimes and received a 10-year prison sentence and 2 years of supervised release. What is going on in Ohio with these kids involved? That's where you'll normally see people really lose their minds, right? When kids get involved and the emotions of all that. And it looks like that was what occurred in this case. We're going to go to Louisiana and South Dakota. And a South Dakota attorney general by the name of Marty Jackley and the Meade County Sheriff Pat West announced the arrest of Bill Aker III, 24, and he's from Sunset, Louisiana. Aker faces charges for deceptive business practices and grand theft by deception concerning an asphalt paving job. The attorney general emphasized the importance of vigilance against such scams, stating, "These scams are aimed at taking advantage of people who need work projects completed as quickly as possible. Thank you to the Meade County Sheriff's Office and other law enforcement agencies for the help in addressing these scams." Now, Aker represented a family business called Bill's Blacktop Paving or Asphalt Paving, which is believed to still operate in western South Dakota. So the attorney general, he issued an alert to citizens to be cautious when approached with business proposals and offered the following tips. Do not give in to high-pressure sales tactics. Be cautious with individuals who solicit door-to-door. Always get repair work, construction orders, and other written contracts with estimated costs. Written estimates should include the name of the business. And compare written bids from several contractors before signing a contract. Never pay for the entire job up front and withhold the final payment until the work is done. Don't take a contractor's word that your insurance company will cover the damage. Check directly with them. Talk to someone you trust before providing money or personal information to someone that contacts you. And look, with all of the hurricane issues right now in Florida, this is something that's going to be real prevalent. What's going to happen, it always happens, is guys will basically, and gals, throw a ladder in the back of their truck and they'll go to Florida and they'll say, "Hey, I'm a contractor." You know, there's a lot of money to be made when these disasters occur. I know here in Louisiana, we've had, of course, our share of disasters. And I can tell you, they come out of the woodwork. And what they do is they ask for all that money up front, or sometimes they'll only ask for a third of the money, let's say. And you pay them that third and you never see them again. But make sure they're reputable, make sure they're licensed in that state, and they're insured, because if they're paying for insurance, if they're licensed in that state, they're likely a reputable company. But you're going to see a lot of that in Florida, and that's why I wanted to cover that story. Any disaster area, in North Carolina, same thing. They're probably coming out of the woodwork over there, and all their intention is to steal from someone who has lost everything, as sick as that is. So we're going to go to Pinellas County, our favorite county, right? We've covered a lot of headlines on this show when it comes to Pinellas County. And I learned something with this story, and that is Pinellas County residents don't play when it comes to pizza. Angry that her Domino's pizza was delivered cold and uncut. And look, that pissed anybody off, right? A Florida woman allegedly drove from her residence to the restaurant where she quarreled with an employee, flung the pizza at them, and damaged the store's telephone. This according to an arrest report detailing a incident. It was at 1:30 in the morning. Who knew that Domino's was open at 1:30 in the morning? But According to this, police arrested Raquay Holly, 22, for criminal mischief, a misdemeanor, following the Pizza Rage incident. After spending the night in jail, Holly was released from custody on her own recognizance. A judge ordered the St. Petersburg resident to stay away from that Domino's Pizza, which is 1.4 miles from her home. The arrest report does not indicate what, if any, pizza topping she requested, or if any stuffed cheesy bread was part of her order. And it actually reads like this, the arrest report. The defendant was upset because her pizza was delivered to her resident, cold and uncut. She then arrived at the physical store, at which a verbal altercation ensued between the defendant and another store employee. The defendant then flung the pizza box in the air, which she then tossed onto the store telephone, damaging the property in the process. Two other employees witnessed the incident. Video surveillance also showed the defendant pushing the store telephone during the altercation. So just a stupid decision to make. I love pizza, but I'm not going to go to jail for it. Let's go to Illinois. And this is a really disturbing case out of Illinois. A 44-year-old father identified as M. Alamaru has been sentenced to 55 years in prison after being convicted of the first-degree murder of his 17-year-old daughter, identified as M. Marrow, in a distressing event that seemed to stem from a disagreement over her attending prom. A jury only needed an hour to deliberate, and they handed down the guilty verdict in connection with that incident. The grim details of the incident emerged when Morrow's aunt discovered her lifeless body at the family home. This was on May 1st of 2022. The scene was, of course, horrifying. Mia was found beaten to death with signs all over her body indicating she was a victim of a savage attack. Prosecutors detailed how Alamaru used a rubber mallet and a metal pole, both found at the scene, to beat his daughter. The tools of this act, one coated in blood, were recovered from the garage and kitchen. And of course, that painted a gruesome picture of the violence Mia endured. Adding to the tragedy, Alamaru was also found at the scene suffering from self-inflicted injuries after attempting to commit suicide by ingesting pills. His state of despair was later articulated in a remorseful confession to a family member. "I lost my mind, went out of control, and beat the shit out of her," he wrote. "I fucked up big time, and I'm sorry." Yes, you did. The motive behind this brutal act was reportedly linked to Mia's desire to attend her high school prom, a request her father initially permitted but later retracted. Alamaru had looked through her phone and found messages that led him to distrust her. The discovery reportedly fueled his anger and led to the tragic outcome. Court documents revealed that Mia feared her father, even texting relatives days before her death about concerns that he might beat her or even kill her following a minor car accident. Mia, described as a beautiful soul and light of our lives by her aunt on a GoFundMe page, was more than just a daughter and a friend. She was also a primary caregiver to her incapacitated mother, a role she took on with dedication and love. After the jury's verdict, Alamaru was handed a 55-year prison sentence, ensuring he will likely spend the remainder of his life behind bars. The judge decreed that he will receive credit for more than 2 years already spent in custody, but emphasized that he must serve the full term. What a sick individual. There's nothing positive I can say, obviously, about that piece of shit. Fortunately, he will spend the rest of his life behind bars for that. A woman in California died after a rock was thrown through her windshield while she was driving. This marked the third separate rock throwing instance in as many days. The incident occurred on Tuesday morning in Antelope Valley, California, when authorities from the California Highway Patrol responded to a tragic traffic incident. Upon arrival, officers discovered a female driver who had sustained fatal injuries from a rock which had been thrown through her vehicle's windshield. Despite efforts from emergency personnel, the driver was pronounced dead at the scene. The unnamed victim had a passenger in the vehicle and was traveling westbound at the time of the incident. The person she was traveling with reported that a rock was thrown into the car from an unknown location while they were driving. California Highway Patrol officers, along with the LA County Fire Department, thoroughly searched the surrounding area but were unable to locate a suspect.
Hey, y'all. You want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend. Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas. or no desire to be intimate with someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
The tragic incident follows another similar occurrence in the vicinity where another driver reported a rock going through their windshield. Given these recurring events, the Highway Patrol is actively investigating the incidents and are seeking assistance from the community. The first of the two previous incidents included minor injuries with fractured bones, and the second incident that day involved minor abrasions. The third occurrence was the first to involve a death. And it looks like, you know, that's a little bit too coincidental. I don't believe in coincidences. And when you've got a third rock throwing incident in the same community in 3 days, it's one person or a group of people doing it, and they're doing it intentionally, obviously. And I sure hope they get caught. What possesses people? You're just driving down the road, minding your own business, and a rock flies through your windshield. Disgusting. Let's go to Missouri, and a 33-year-old missing woman's remains were found in a wooded area almost exactly 5 months after she disappeared. Emily Strait's mother reported her missing to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, and this was on April 20th, after she had not been seen or heard from since April 12th. The sheriff's office said Stride had last left the location in DeSoto on foot and was believed to be leaving the area on her own free will. Officer Grant Bissell said investigators reviewed surveillance video that showed Stride at a Waffle House, and she reportedly did not appear to be in distress. Other videos, however, indicated a second person in a video with Stride, who is more ambiguous and remains part of the investigation. On September 28th, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office deputies, they received a call from a homeowner who said they found apparent human remains on their property. The medical examiner's office used dental records, and they positively identified the victim as Strite. The sheriff's office said her cause of death is undetermined, and investigators are working to learn how her body ended up where it was found. Strite was the mother of four children who ranged in age from 4 to 17 years old. Strite's sister, Jessica Strite, said she was bright, funny, and larger than life, and she will be missed. We're looking for answers, and we're not going to stop pursuing justice for my sister. 5 months later, finally, the remains of this woman is found, and not the result that you would want to see. Of course, you'd want to find her alive and well. Tragic situation in DeSoto, Missouri. Now, we brought you a story way back when. I think this was back in January. We brought you a story of hands and a head that was found in a freezer. People had purchased a house in Colorado, and this freezer was in there. And when they opened the freezer, a head and hands were inside the freezer frozen. Well, I have an update on that story, and they have identified who that was. It was a 16-year-old girl who was last seen in 2005. The initial incident took place 9 months ago on January 12th when the Mesa County Sheriff's Office in Colorado received a call regarding a suspicious incident at Grand Junction. Upon arrival, deputies found the head and hands of a human that had been discovered in a freezer by someone who arrived to claim the free appliance offered by the new homeowner of the recently sold home. It took 9 months of investigation before the Mesa County Sheriff's Office were able to identify the victim. Through DNA testing, the victim is identified as Amanda Overstreet, law enforcement announced. Amanda is believed to have been approximately 16 at the time of her disappearance. Overstreet had not been seen or heard from since April of 2005. Overstreet was the biological daughter of the previous owner of the home, and the circumstances surrounding her disappearance remain under investigation, as well as an ongoing forensic testing of evidence. There is no record that Amanda Overstreet was ever reported missing. The Mesa County Sheriff's Office emphasized that the home is now under new ownership, completely unrelated to the case. Of course, they're doing that because they don't want people like freaking out and going over there, and you know, it becomes old west at that house. The house was purchased, fully remodeled, and sold to the current owner, and we urge you to respect the current owner and the neighbor's privacy and avoid driving by the home or taking photos. Disturbing. Never reported missing. Well, that tells me right there, the previous homeowner, that was his daughter, he killed her. That's all there is to it. And of course, with the recent hurricanes in Florida, you got problems with looters, right? And here's one for you out of Florida. As the most recent hurricane battered a Florida city covered by a state of emergency declaration, two men burglarized a Trump store stocked with merchandise promoting the ex-president. This according to cops, who say one of the alleged looters was wearing a Trump cowboy hat when busted. On Friday evening, investigators patrolling a closed-off section in the Tampa Bay area discovered two men loitering outside a closed business plaza whose tenants included a realtor, a gift shop, and a Trump store. The Trump outlet sold a variety of Trump 2024 banners and stickers, fight, fight, fight t-shirts, and let's go Brandon and fuck your feelings products. When police approached the pair, they were in possession of the merchandise and matched items stolen in the Trump store, which was unsecured due to damages from the storm. One of the suspects, Lance Petrovelli, was wearing a Trump cowboy hat that he claimed ended up in his possession after it washed up from the hurricane. He was accompanied by John Peters, who cops say was in possession of a Trump hat, two Trump-style t-shirts, and a coffee mug. They were arrested for burglarizing an unoccupied structure, a felony, and loitering and prowling. Petrovelli told cops he works as a local fisherman in the area but does not live here. Peters, who appeared heavily intoxicated, did not make statements to the police. Both defendants are transients with a lengthy arrest record for crimes like trespass, and it goes through a bunch of crimes. But even the Trump stores are getting looted in Florida. And look, I'm, you know, I say that tongue in cheek, but let me tell you, that is a major issue also with these disasters. You not only have the situation I told you earlier, which is people with ill intent who show up at your house and say they're going to fix your whole house and then they take your money and never show up, but you also have looter issues. Man, you can't get any lower in my mind than someone who is going to go to a community where people have lost everything and try to steal what little they have left. And that includes businesses, homeowners, and they come out of the woodworks. They are some pieces of shit in this world. There's no doubt about it. So glad those guys got caught for sure. And we're going to go across the pond. I don't normally go across the pond, but we're going to go across the pond to Essex. And I'm going to tell you about a daughter who murdered her parents and then lived with the body for years after hiding them in makeshift tombs. So this daughter, who is described as an intelligent manipulator, murdered her parents in cold blood, hid them in makeshift tombs, and lived alongside their bodies for 4 years. Virginia McCullough, who is 36, poisoned her father, John, who was 70, with prescription medication and then fatally stabbed her 71-year-old mother, Lois, shortly afterwards. She then lied about their whereabouts and spent their money. Judge Johnson sentenced McCullough to life in prison with a minimum of 36 years in court this past Friday after she admitted to their murders between the 17th and 20th of June in 2019. Richard Butcher, who is brother of Lois McCullough, said in a victim impact statement that his niece was very dangerous and what had happened undermined my faith in humanity. McCullough poisoned her father, who had worked as a university lecturer at a local university, with prescription medication that she crushed and put in his alcoholic drinks. Then, a day later, she beat her mother with a hammer and fatally stabbed her. She hid the body in makeshift tombs at the family home and then told persistent lies to cover her tracks. She ran up large debt on credit cards in her parents' name after their deaths and continued to spend their pensions. The court heard she canceled family arrangements and frequently told doctors and relatives that her parents were unwell or they were on lengthy trips away from the area. But concerns for Mr. and Miss McCullough's welfare were raised in September of 2023 by a general practitioner. The general practitioner had not seen the couple for some time and said Mr. McCullough had failed to collect medication and attend scheduled appointments. It was found McCullough had frequently canceled appointments using a wide range of excuses to explain her father's absence. Police said a missing persons investigation was launched and McCullough lied to officers claiming her parents were traveling and would be returning in October. It became a murder investigation, and when officers forced entry into the house, McCullough confessed that her parents' bodies were in that house and that she had killed them 4 years prior. In body-worn video footage released by police, a handcuffed McCullough told officers, "I did know this would kind of come eventually. It's proper that I serve my punishment." She said she had slipped something into her father's drink, then put his body under a bed on the ground floor and put her mother's body in an upstairs wardrobe. McCullough, having been arrested on suspicion of double murder, told an officer, "Cheer up. At least you've caught the bad guy." She added, "I don't know. I don't seem 100% evil." At the police station, she told officers where a kitchen knife was, which she described as the murder weapon, and a hammer, which she said will still have blood on it. Police said documents found at the address built the picture of a woman who was desperately trying to keep her parents from discovering the depth of the financial black hole that she continued to dig while giving them false assurances about her employment and future prospects. Passing sentencing, the judge told the defendant she was almost $60,000 in debt before the killing. Bye-bye to that piece of shit daughter who is going to spend her life in prison now.
Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip-up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater in Heather Gray. And I'm telling you, these are
classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high-quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
Hey, y'all. Let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it, and it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life.
And now we're going to go to Goose Creek, South Carolina. Woody's covered this case on Real Life, Real Crime Original. And that is about the serial killer, probably definitely the most prolific. I hate to use that term prolific, but certainly he is the most prolific serial killer of all time. And that is Sam Little. And investigators recently identified a homicide victim whose remains were found in 1977, 3 years after she disappeared. And they determined the victim was a black female, anywhere between 20 to 75 years old at the time of her death. Initially, they only found partial skeletal remnants on a highway in South Carolina, and due to the condition, they were unable to determine the weight, hair, eye color, any of that, and she became known as the Berkeley County Jane Doe. And back then in the 70s, y'all, they didn't have, of course, DNA like they have now. So the remains were submitted to the sheriff's office in Berkeley County in 2020 to attempt to identify that Jane Doe, and officials worked to find a possible match or close relatives, but they were unsuccessful. The sheriff's office then sent that evidence to a DNA crime lab somewhere else, and a genetic genealogy company built a comprehensive DNA profile, submitted the results, and eventually, during that investigation, investigators discovered that a serial killer, Sam Little, admitted to strangling an unnamed woman he had met at a nightclub in North Charleston. Little reportedly said he left her remains along the side of that same highway. Little, who the FBI has called the nation's most prolific serial killer, confessed to killing 93 people between 1970 and 2005. He died at the age of 80 at a California hospital in 2020. He was serving, of course, a life sentence at the time. The sheriff's office announced that they had positively identified that Jane Doe as Leola Bryant, who was 51 years old at the time of her death. She was reported missing to the North Charleston Police Department in March of 1974, Bryant was last seen at the Midway Bar, which is the same place Little claimed to have met the victim before strangling her. So, again, we talk about it all the time with this familial DNA and this genetic genealogy stuff, and it has really done wonders for identifying these victims of murders 30, 40, 50 years ago. Probably, in my opinion, the most significant crime-related scientific advancement in history. All right, and we're going to go to Michigan, and I'm going to tell you about a 13-year-old girl who was taken into custody over the weekend after she allegedly killed her younger sister that she was babysitting. The girl's parents left the house around 11:15 a.m. and had their teen daughter look after the 7-year-old victim. At one point, the sisters reportedly got in an argument, which, according to Detective Corporal Zachary Jamanko, was about flushing a toilet. When the younger sister was in the bathroom, the teen allegedly fatally stabbed her using a butcher knife and a hunting knife. The 13-year-old reportedly called her father about the incident and subsequently contacted police at approximately 1 p.m. Jamanko said police arrived and found the girl suffering from over 10 stab wounds ranging from the abdomen to the head to the neck. EMS transported the girl to the hospital where she was pronounced deceased, and Jamanko described the suspect as very calm and just showing no emotion. The Wayne County Prosecutor's Office is charging the teen with first-degree premeditated murder and a slew of other charges. The county prosecutor opted to charge the girl in the juvenile justice system, saying given her age, the state would have 7 years to diagnose, treat, and rehabilitate her until her mandatory release at 21. Hopefully then she would not be a danger to others. And I would love to know what y'all think about that. And I'm going to tell you about a wild story that came out of Jackson, Mississippi. And two Jackson, Mississippi students were injured after they allegedly stole a teacher's vehicle and later crashed. The crash occurred on Interstate 220 South near Watkins Drive. This was at 11:15 a.m. on Thursday, October 10th. The Jackson police said the unidentified students were able to steal a Jim Hill High School teacher's keys and drive off with the vehicle. During the crash, police said one student was ejected. They were both taken to the University of Mississippi Medical Center with non-life-threatening injuries. And that's amazing that that student was ejected and they are both going to be okay. And thank God for that. But can you believe that? And I'll read you what the police said this afternoon. Two Jim Hill High School scholars, how about that, were involved in a single car accident. According to reports, one student took the car without authorization after receiving permission to retrieve an item from that vehicle. Tragically, one of the female passengers was ejected from the vehicle during the accident. She was transported to a local hospital for medical treatment. The district is investigating to determine if the other student involved will face criminal charges for unauthorized vehicle possession. I would imagine they will. We are deeply concerned by this incident and are fully cooperating with law enforcement. Our thoughts are with the individuals involved and their families during this difficult time. But holy smokes, man. First of all, the teacher never give your keys to one of the students and say, go get something out of my car. And how about the students for taking advantage of a situation here and stealing the freaking car? That's crazy. And that is all I have for you today on Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Check out all the other stuff we do. Of course, Real Life, Real Crime Original, which is on this feed, Bloody Angola, something me and Woody do on another feed. So go check that out if you haven't. And Exposed Scandalous Files of the Elite, my podcast. Go check that out. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman for Woody Overton. We are your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.